Some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess. And sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." Fellow redeemed. The poet said it, "The melancholy days are here, the saddest of the year." And suddenly it dawned upon the majority of us anyway, that the winter quarter is just about over. Somehow, those days slipped by much more quickly than some of us anticipated. We think of all of the promises that we made to ourselves, things that we were going to do during this quarter, but somehow they just never got done. You see, this quarter, we were going to attend class regularly. This quarter, we were going to really study for those classes. This quarter, we were going to get those term papers in on time. This quarter, we were going to spend some time on homiletics. This quarter, we were going to work on our notes so that as we teach in the classroom, our lectures wouldn't only be doctrinally sound, but that they might also motivate some of the students. This quarter, we were going to really use our time productively. Well, perhaps next quarter, I will use the time the way God would really intend. Perhaps next quarter, I might even develop a strong prayer life. Perhaps next quarter, I will start loving people the way I really should. Everything is going to turn out much better with much less effort somehow next quarter. For our Lord saw everywhere this deadening tendency in our human nature, that ever-present temptation to procrastinate, the damning tendency to postpone life. If you take a real good look at our Lord's preaching, I think that you will see that he was not only concerned about those people who took the wrong bus in life, but he was even more concerned about those who took no bus at all. They're missing every bus that came along because they obviously thought there would be another. The parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins is a prime example of how five of them missed the wedding, and they missed the reception that followed because they postponed putting oil in their lamp. Or in another narrative of the gospel, we see where there was planned a tremendous supper, and all of those who were invited missed. They were too busy. They missed the supper because apparently they felt there would be another one that they would be able to attend. It was T.S. Eliot who once said that there are a lot of lives that end with a whimper instead of a bang. It isn't because these lives are purposely or willfully evil. Most of them are just plain dribbled away. They are the stereotype lies, opportunities neglected, challenges unmet, inspiration stifled, potential deteriorated, talent undeveloped, all due to that life-sucking parasite that you and I call procrastination. See, most people put off until tomorrow what they should have done yesterday. Or maybe we ought to put it in the form of a limerick. A godless young man of the nation put his faith in procrastination. He said, "Wait till tomorrow, so alas to his sorrow." He died without regeneration. Now, perhaps the most classic example in all of Scripture is that character Felix, who was the governor of Caesarea, before whom the Apostle Paul had to defend himself of false accusations. Now, instead of defending himself as you would in a normal trial, Paul stood before the governor, and he ignored the governor's position. He ignored his own situation, and you know what he did? He preached. He preached a sermon, and he preached with such fervor and such conviction and such eloquence that Felix became frightened. And finally he said to Paul, "Go away. Go away for now. I will call you at a more convenient season." Do you know what Felix was really saying? He was saying, "Paul, perhaps next quarter." Was this indeed his moment before God? And this is rather climactic times in all of our lives, are those moments before God. And in this respect, isn't there a host of Felixes in this world of ours? And here is the real peril of procrastination. Just imagine, what if that moment before God would be the individual's only moment before God? Procrastination, the thief of time, is much more than that. Why, it's the thief of life, and it's the thief of faith. You see, the Felix in me says, everything is going to turn out all right. I'm going to get rid of these bad habits. I'm going to be more thoughtful of others. I'm going to make better use of my time. Perhaps, next quarter. How many of us have become as firm in our procrastination as the alcoholic who was always going to reform, but he never got to that convenient season? And so in sheer desperation, his family finally decided to take things into their own hands. And so one night as he came home in that drunken stupor, and he passed out, they picked him up, they carried him out to the local cemetery, and they buried him, with only his head protruding. And when he finally came to, it was morning. The sun was shining, and the birds were singing. And he looked around, and he saw only a forest of tombstones. And in his nonchalant way, he said, "What do you know about that? Resurrection morning, and I'm the first one up." We can think of all kinds of reasons why to postpone any real reformation that ought to take place. Somehow, we just never get to that convenient season. We've added years to our lives, but have we really added life to those years? You see, God is not going to measure your life by the number of years you have spent here on this earth, nor the number of years you are permitted to spend in the holy ministry, or not even the number of years that you are permitted to teach at Concordia Seminary. But He will measure those years and your life by the way you have spent those years. We like to say, "But this is my life, and I can do with it whatever I like." But what we really forget is that this life is a gift from the Almighty God. You see, God, in His great love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world just for you and for me. And His Son, Jesus Christ, in that tremendous love, willingly took all of your sins and mine, not only the evil thoughts, but even the sins of procrastination And they took them, he took them upon his shoulders, and he died on the cross. But that wasn't the end. The Heavenly Father accepted that sacrifice for us. And Christ rose again, that you and I have the absolute assurance of eternal life, and that all of our sins are truly forgiven. And that should remind us, we are God's representatives. And it should also remind us to do something worthwhile with these lives before next quarter. The problem of procrastination is a very real one. Isn't that why the Lord said, work while it is day, ere night cometh when no man can work? It's a simple truth that before this day is over, any one of us who is in this chapel this morning could end up on a hospital bed or in a slab in a mortuary. Oh, I know that's not the exciting thing to talk about, but nevertheless, it is true that next quarter may never come. I remember when I was in the parish ministry, and there was a very highly successful executive that was struck down with a serious coronary. His wife belonged to the congregation that I was serving and asked me if I would visit her husband in the hospital. And so I did. And as I stood beside that hospital bed, I will never forget as that man looked up to me with tears in his eyes and he said, Pastor, do you remember the man who never had any time for God? Well, now I have time for God. All of the time that's left, if there is any time left. And then he said, Pastor, would you tell me about God? Remember, next quarter may never come.